the Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. As you all should know, if you've been listening to the program, I just got back from Puerto Rico, and I was spending time there doing investigations with Michael Rivera. Now, Michael was born in 1965. As a matter of fact, his birthday was just a few days ago. He's 48 years old now, and he was born in New York, and around the age of 11 or 12, he moved to Puerto Rico. His primary occupation was security, and something sort of amazing happened to him in the year 2009. That's when all this really sort of began, when he decided to take a turn into what we might call the dark side, and we're going to get the scoop on that right now. I also have some audio clips arranged that we're going to play for you this hour. As you may know, he has had a voice that has been speaking to him, and at first he thought maybe he was going nuts, but then other people were able to hear it, and he was even able to start getting audio recordings of this. So, Michael Rivera, welcome, sir, to Speaking of Strange.
Oh, hi. Good evening.
Great to have you with us, Michael, and I'm so happy that you are open to talking about your experience.
Sure.
So many people are fascinated by what has happened to you. So tell us, what happened to you in 2009 when you sold your soul?
Okay. Well, actually, in the beginning, it all started when I was a little kid. I was told that I should be taken to the psychiatrist when I was a kid by my primary doctor. Things got a little bit nasty from there because I grew lonely. When I was a teenager, I really didn't have a lot of friends. So I noticed a couple of things, you know, here and there. Then at around 2007, I noticed that I was getting depressed and I was getting sick. And it came to a point where I stopped functioning socially. At around 2009, I was diagnosed as a mental patient. And then that's where the problems began, because I just went down the hill. I locked myself for the next 19 years. And it just went south from there. I knew I always had problems since I was a kid, but the problem is that it just got worse and worse. So I just got disappointed. I came to a point where I was so depressed, and I just couldn't go out. You know, it's like I was dead. You know, I saw the world, the outside world, like impossible. I just couldn't function right, and, a lot of problems began. I started losing all my friends. I started losing my family. I came to a point where all I wanted to do, it's bad. So at around 2009, I just got real sick, to a point where I even spent 2 weeks in the hospital, a mental hospital. And I did sell my soul to the devil, to a point where I was listening to death metal. I had all these objects that would attract to the devil, would attract the devil. In other words, I was very attracted to the devil. Every day I will invoke him, and I was having these fantasies of becoming a hell angel. I was having fantasies of destroying the world and all sorts of bad stuff. And I found myself locked up in a closet. You know, it was insane. You know, I was sick completely. You know, I had all sorts of problems, mental problems. So at around a year and a half ago, I'll probably say in October of 2012, I decided that it was time for a change. Even though I was mental incapacitated, but I knew that I have lost everything in life. And I needed a change because I knew that if I will let God open, I will let God into my life, things will start getting better. So I started to read the Bible, and I started to seeing a couple of these shows on TV, ministry shows, Christian shows like Joyce Meyer, and I received a revelation. And that day I sat down in front of the TV and... actually, it was like she was talking to me, and she was telling me, well, you know, you're sick, you have big problems in life, but I want you to find God, knock on his door, and you're going to see something. You're going to slowly transform, and slowly, you know, you're going to recuperate slowly. So I started reading, I started praying every day. And I started going to church approximately about 6 months ago, which was unbelievable because the first time I stepped a foot on that church, it was, wow, unbelievable. I just felt the Holy Spirit and everything. But the problem is, at around 8 months ago, I woke up one day and I suddenly realized that... there was a voice following me. Actually, there was a couple of things following me, even dogs. And I was kind of shy in the beginning. I didn't really want to expose this out there because since I was diagnosed as a mental patient, I've been in hospital and everything. It's like, well, if I go out in public, if I tell my family, I tell my friends, they're going to associate it with mental illnesses, and it doesn't look right. But what I did, it's okay. What if I can make some of my friends listen to it, family, or even a paranormal investigator? So I just waited and waited, and one night, as my cousin picked me up, we were going to go to downtown, hometown in my city. I told him, can you take me to Burger King? All of a sudden, this car passes by and screams, no. So that's when I first got a witness next to me. That was my cousin Nelson, which you met him personally here.
Yes.
So I wasn't really sure. Should I go public or not? Because here it is. I'm still, diagnosed as a mental patient, and I'm working at it. So then came my dad. He noticed a couple of things. He noticed the dogs following me everywhere where I will stand or I will stop in a car with him. Dogs will bark. And same death with my cousin Nelson. So the thing is, my church, I received some. They just told me, you know, go ahead and forget about it. You know, if you don't listen to it, he will disappear. So I waited for probably 4 months after. And the truth is, it didn't disappear. So I came to a point, well, you know what? I need some help. This is real. I'm not crazy, even though I'm a mental patient, but I'm not crazy. So I decided then that's when I should guy locally here in Puerto Rico, and I couldn't find one. By coincidence, I found this email and the internet, which I thought it was locally, and surely I got in touch with Joshua P. Warren, and it was got sent. And that's when he came here. So it's like, if I'm a mental patient, then he's also a mental patient because he heard it too.
Yeah, that's right.
I just wanted to make sure that I had enough evidence before I did this. How could I describe the voices? Well, it's a 24/7. For example, I noticed that if I think about something, it could read my thoughts. It answers me. Like, for example, if in my mind I'm saying, well, I'm going to go to the gym today, or I got to go to church today, I can hear clearly when it says yes or no. What happened in the car with my cousin, and just like what happened with my friend Joshua P. Warren, which he was here, and he asked that thing, and that thing said no. So, even when I talk to people in public, I can hear it. The problem is, it's very easy to catch it, to catch it, but the thing is, because there's a lot of people involved, it seems like it's a normal. It's normal. It's part of the conversation, but it's not. Actually, it's that thing that it's talking to me. And it's been happening ever since probably 8 months ago. It just keeps talking, and it seems to always try to contradict me. Like, for example, it answers me, but if I say yes, it says no. And it's so funny because it's like bilingual, you know. If some of the words are in English and some of the words are in Spanish. And this is my life now. It's like, wow, you know, I haven't got rid of this. The truth is, I make an invitation to any reporter or to any other investigator who is hearing me to come down here, and I will gladly show them. And I guarantee, just like what happened with Joshua, I'll guarantee you that if you come down here, you will listen to it too.
All right, so Michael, let's pause for a break, and when we come back, I'm going to explain to all of you listening what the tests were that I did when I went down to visit with Michael, what the results were. Yes, I actually did hear a voice, and I will tell you about that. We're going to play some audio clips for you. Stick around. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
This is what you get when you
You're listening to Speaking of Strange, and I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, talking right now with Michael Rivera from Puerto Rico, and he has been tormented for 8 or 9 months now by this voice that has been speaking to him. It often demeans him. It disagrees. It says the opposite thing. If he says yes, it says no. It says what? It often makes weird noises to disrupt the situation, and we're going to play some recordings for you in a little bit. But let me tell you all something that I found truly startling. When I first met Michael Rivera, we sat down in his house at the beginning of a fresh day, and I decided to give him some ESP tests to see if he may have some type of special ability. Now, most of you have probably seen these little cards, often called Zener cards or ESP cards. They have 5 different symbols. You have wavy lines, square, circle, triangle. Gosh, I can't even remember the other. Anyway, when you sit down and you look at these cards, you're trying to guess which one will pop up next. So there are 5 cards, so there's about a 20% chance that you might guess any particular card. And I've given this test hundreds or maybe over 1,000 times. And most people kind of have this random spread that's right in that range of what you would expect statistically. Well, I tell you what, the first time I gave this test to Michael Rivera, we went through all the cards, and he got 2 of them right. The second time I did the test, he got none of them right. And the third time I did it, he got 1 right. Now, this is mind-boggling how he got so few of them right. Because if you consider that there is a statistical range in the middle, getting none of them right is just as impressive as getting all of them right. I mean, if I sat down with you right now and I said, I will give you $100 if you don't get any of these right, that would be, in my opinion, just as hard as getting them all right. How is he consistently not getting them? What does this mean? It's like the inverse sort of outcome. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around this. All I'm thinking at this point, and I have a report that I'm working on, and I'm consulting with some of my colleagues, I'm thinking that, well, the ESP test is designed to help you extract information from your surroundings. And so you would think the opposite would be, well, he's got his information coming from somewhere deep within, and yet the irony is, at the same time, he's extremely receptive to his surroundings because this voice speaks in one of 2 ways. Michael says sometimes the voice speaks loudly right in the middle of the room as if it's sitting next to him. In other cases, it's more of an ambient effect. It's almost like when a paranormal investigator plays white noise in the background because they're hoping that white noise can be distorted by a spirit to create a sound. He views his entire surroundings as a big selection of potential white noises. So whether it's a neighbor talking next door or a car slamming or a horn honking or a dog barking, these are all potential sound sources that could be shaped into a voice. And soon I will tell you about one of these voices that I actually heard myself. But first, Michael, let me ask you a question that many people have asked me when I tell them your story. They say, for one thing, how does one sell his soul to the devil? And secondly, did you do this expecting to get something in return? Speak about those 2 elements for a moment, please.
Okay. Well, actually, here's the bottom line. As a Christian right now, as a person who repents, and I can see everything clearly now and days. But here's the problem. Usually when you sell your soul to the devil, is because you come from a problematic background. Something has to happen in your life to intrigue that. And in my case, when I got sick, when I was diagnosed, and locking myself up, being inside a room for 19 years, it's not easy. It gets to you mentally, physically. It's draining. It comes to a point where you're disappointed. You lose hope. You lose faith. And on top of that, you're listening to death metal, which is the kind of metal which invokes the devil and talks of a lot of bad things about the world and how to destroy it. And it's just adoring the devil, you know. And I felt attraction to the devil ever since I think I was probably at her age, I'd probably say about 35. So this started way before I got sick. You know, I was already started feeling that urge. So when I get diagnosed, and all of a sudden I lock myself, and all of a sudden I find myself listening to death metal, which all it does is putting a lot of bad negative message into your brain, things start to happen. And all of a sudden I find myself seeing all these terrible movies, all these serial killer movies. There's a show actually on TV called Gangland, which I felt infatuated with motorcycle gangs like the Hell Angel. Actually, I felt like I wanted to go and become a Hell Angel. So all these factors contribute with, you know, you trying, you know, at least you become trying to sell your soul to the devil.
So what was that moment like when you sold your soul to the devil?
Well, actually, to me, I'm going to be honest with you, it felt good. It felt good because here it is. I was very disappointed with myself. I was practically, I could probably tell you that I felt like my life was in misery. I felt like I was dead. I didn't have any hope. So actually, when I did sell my soul to the devil, it was like, it felt good.
And you just declared it. Is that how you did it?
Yes. Yes, that's right. I declared it.
And you didn't really want any specific thing in return. You didn't say, give me $1 million or whatever. You just wanted to do it because it felt right.
And it felt powerful, like, well, you know, it's like I'm going to be powerful now. I'm going to be tougher than everybody else, which, you know, it's not true. It's just, you know, it's the devil fooling you. So nowadays when I found the truth, Christianity, you know, and I look back, you know, I could see all everything. I could see all the mistakes, you know. Nowadays it's very different, but back then I could really tell you it was very pleasurable when I did that.
Okay, now we've got a couple of minutes before our next break, so let me just ask you quickly here. We're going to play some audio recordings when we come back, and there are two ways in which this thing speaks to you, as I mentioned. Sometimes directly,
and sometimes I have it right here next to me.
He's there right next to you right now.
Well, sometimes he does. That's correct.
Okay. And in other cases, it's sort of ambient in the environment. And
that's correct.
What happens more often?
I could probably say it's divided 50-50.
Okay.
For example, I have days that when I'm here in the house, he's practically talking to me all day long, and I can hear specific, like, for example, if I go to the bathroom and I think about something, it's like he's there.
Okay.
He tells me, yeah. If I go to the kitchen, I'm going to cook. I'm going to say, well, I need some rice. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, he does it outside. Like, for example, like you said, Josh, you know, sometimes also the timing. For example, I'm not sure, you know, if that thing uses also neighbors and other people. The thing is, it seems like every time I think about something, you know, outside sources or outside voices also tells me yes or no.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we will play some audio recordings, and you can hear some examples of this yourself. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky, I am Joshua P. Warren. Keep in mind, I have some expeditions back to Puerto Rico coming up soon. Would you like to go? Go to ParanormalPuertoRico.com and check out the details, ParanormalPuertoRico.com. Right now, I'm talking with Michael Rivera. I just visited him in Puerto Rico. And let me tell you all something before we play some of these audio clips, and then after we play them, we'll get Michael to tell us more about each one. You know, again, there are two ways in which he says this thing speaks. One is the very direct way, and the other is via the ambient environment, which is a little bit more difficult to try to sort of, you know, reduced down to some type of controlled scientific database. But I never got to hear this thing speak very, you know, directly and clearly as a disembodied voice in the room. But I tell you what I did hear. We were sitting in the living room, and Michael had told me that sometimes when he turns on his fan, that the white noise from the fan can be used to create a vocal response by this entity, which didn't seem that out of the ordinary to me, because, again, I am very familiar with how paranormal investigators play white noise in the background when they're trying to get EVPs. The idea is that a ghost doesn't have a voice box or a larynx. It can't generate something out of nothing, so it has to take maybe some type of band of information that's already there and shape it into a sound. I am also well aware of the fact that many people who are schizophrenic say that they hear voices coming from fans and other things like that. So bearing all that in mind, Michael turned on his fan. We're sitting there together. I didn't expect to hear anything. And I decided that I would speak out loud to this presumed entity. And I said something along the lines of, do you like the fact that I'm here trying to document you? And suddenly, the sound coming from the fan shifted dramatically, and what sounded like, no, came from the fan. And I can tell you that with absolute honesty. It was startling to me. In fact, Michael and I have since said maybe we're both schizophrenic now because I heard the fans say no. The problem is sometimes it's very difficult to capture this stuff on audio recordings because, you know, you put an audio recorder in front of a fan, it's just blowing into this to the microphone, just shh. So we have just three little recordings here that are very brief that I'm going to play for you. And I have not changed them except I have amplified the volume at certain points so that it comes across better on the radio. Often when you try to play recordings on the radio, you lose some of the quality. So if you hear the volume jump up for a second, that's where I enhanced the volume, but that's all I did. So here is the first clip. This is one of Michael Rivera speaking out to the entity and saying something to the effect of, "You're satanic, right?" And after he says that, you will hear what Michael believes is the spirit responding, "Right." So here is our first clip.
Y proviene de algo satánico o malo. Right?
Okay, now let's play that one more time. And so after Michael says "right," again, you'll hear this. Here we go.
Y proviene de algo satánico o malo. Right?
And often, even though this thing has an organic sound to the ear, Michael says, it has more of an electronic sound when recorded. Now, this second recording was made when I was sitting right there, and I heard this with my own ears. Sometimes this thing makes a whistling sound. And I heard this whistle in the room, and I don't know where the whistle came from. In this recording, again, Michael says "right," but, and the second time he says "right," listen to the whistling sound that we heard in the room.
You see, if I have a TV and the fan, I can hear you here inside instead of outside. Right? What? I know you whistle me too. Forget about whistling. Talk to me.
Okay, now we'll play that again. And, you know, I heard that with my own ears. So did Michael. I recorded that. I mean, that's my own recording. Here it is again.
You see, if I have a TV and the fan, I can hear you here inside instead of outside. Right? What? I know you whistle me too. Forget about whistling. Talk to me.
So there was clearly something whistling in the room. I mean, and now here's this third example. And in this recording, Michael says sometimes this thing, it makes a weird sound that almost sounds like a horn or some type, again, of almost any human electronic sound. So here's the last clip we'll play for you. Now, again, you could hear that high-pitched sound, and that's just right there in the room. Where did that come from? Here it is again. Okay, so now, Michael, tell us about these three recordings we've just heard here.
Okay. The first one actually was probably in the beginning. What I actually do, it's like I put the recording in my front porch, and I just sit here, and I started speaking to it. And actually that day, I wanted to try to get some information out of this thing, and I did ask him if he was satanic. And that's when I really didn't notice it in the beginning. I could hear him say "right" normally, with a normal sound, you know, like "right," mm-hmm, or "right." But when I put on the recording, actually the one that I had recorded that day, I noticed that he answers me in a creepy voice. It's like, "right."
Okay, and here it is. We'll play it one more time for everybody.
Y proviene de algo satánico o malo. Right?
And I also want to tell everybody who, especially if you're listening to this show and you are scientifically oriented, I am very curious about how that these sort of, if you will, ghostly sounds are recorded. Is this an electrical signal, or is it air being moved? And so I did an experiment at Michael's house. I took two identical recorders. I started them recording side by side, and I put one of them inside of a vacuum. And so the one in the vacuum is incapable of picking up most of the sound that comes from the outside world. So that is to say, if the one in the vacuum gets anything, then you can presume it's an electrical signal. So after we were finished doing some recordings, I compared the two. I put them both together on an audio program, and there were a number of occasions when Michael would ask a question, and the recorder in the vacuum would go. So there was something making it through the vacuum to the recorder. And I mean, I can easily make that available in my report that will be pointed out, that you can see it when you look at the visual wavelengths. So, you know, there is something there that is of an electronic component, and I can see why Michael says sometimes you may hear it one way, but it sounds differently on the recording. Okay, now, Michael, let's talk about the one with the whistling. Tell us about that one.
Okay, this happens often. It seems like when that thing doesn't like something, for example, I'm doing something that he doesn't like, maybe if I turn on the TV and when I want to see something, all of a sudden that whistle comes out. It's like he doesn't approve of a lot of the things that I do. So sometimes I just, like, for example, I like to do exercise. Or just read a book. And if I'm reading a book that he doesn't like, he starts whistling at me. And it's just like you heard it there that day that you were here, Josh, you and me were here, we listened to it. That's the way I always listen and hear. It doesn't really happen every day, but like I'll probably say it happens like twice a week. And what I've noticed is that every time I do stuff, it's like that thing doesn't approve of some of the things that I do.
Okay, and here's the whistling clip one more time.
You see, if I have the TV and the fan, I can hear you here inside instead of outside. Right? What? I know you whistle me too. Forget about whistling. Talk to me.
Okay, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're actually going to be in the final minutes of this interview with Michael Rivera, and we're going to ask him what he wants to do next in his research, because when I first met him, he was thinking that he wanted to get rid of this thing. Now he wants it to stick around long enough for other researchers to be able to go there and document this to try to understand it and maybe even help others. So when we come back, we'll ask him how that people can contact him. He wants to be contacted. He wants to tell this story. He wants to get the word out there. And you'll hear what his plan is when we return. I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is the program where the unusual becomes usual. Thanks for spending your Saturday night with us. And coming up next hour, of course, is the Dark 30 Hour. This is Speaking of Strange. the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Coming up next hour, again, it's the Dark 30 hour when we dig into the more outrageous and controversial news stories of the past week or so. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. And right now, I am wrapping up my conversation with Michael Rivera from Puerto Rico. And, you know, Michael, I tried to find you on Facebook. I didn't have any luck, but you don't mind giving out your email address and phone number and all that stuff, do you?
Sure, sure. You can contact me at area code 787-851-6734. If not, I don't answer. You can leave me the message, and I'll get in touch. And you could contact me also through my email, at Mike Evangelistica, that's E-N, V as in Victor, A-N-G-E-L-I-S-T-A, @hotmail.com.
All right, we will have that info posted for everybody at speakingofstrange.com, along with a video interview that you did there when I was at your house about this as well. Because, Michael, you now want people to contact you. What is your goal? What do you want to see happen at this point in your life?
Okay. Well, first of all, my main goal is to find out where this voice is coming from or this spirit. I really want to get down to the whole mystery and find out what it's really happening here. But also I want to use this experience and, you know, go out there and talk about it. And I think, like, I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me that, you need to help the youth. Just tell the world that when you play with the devil, you know, bad things happen. So I really could see that I could really help people to understand how important God and how important Christianity is. And that we should stay away from the devil because, you know, things happen for a reason. And, you know, when you play with the devil, you know, most of the time people play with the devil, they get burned, you know. No positive things can come from the devil, that's for sure. And I am open, my house is open to any research, any paranormal investigator, any reporter who wants to come. I can guarantee, just like what happened with Josh, and here's the thing, when Josh came, this thing was kind of a little bit quiet. But this thing goes on the 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it's such a phenomenon that the truth is I haven't seen this never before. And I guarantee that anyone who comes to my house won't be disappointed. They will actually go with a recording of this thing and they will actually hear it with our recorder live.
And, you know, I also like the fact that we discussed, Michael, that for the time being, now that you have some kind of dialogue with this demon, for lack of a better word, if somebody wants to ask this demon a question, they can contact you, and you will ask that question and see what response that you get. I mean, in the same way that I asked a question and got a response, it'll be an experiment.
Correct.
You know, somebody can ask you to ask this thing something and you will do it. And all this, of course, is culminating in the report that I'm putting together that will be done soon. And anybody who wants to read that report should just go to joshuapwarren.com. And there's no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com. And I'll have a link to it posted there once it's ready. But the clock has got us. But, you know, Michael, I think it's fantastic that you are opening your home and your life for research. Thank you for being such a wonderful host to me and, you know, not killing me in the middle of the night when I'm sleeping at your house.
And I just want to tell you that I really appreciate all the help you've given me and for coming down here and supporting me.
All right. Well, there you go. Thank you very much. Michael Rivera, everybody. And his story is just going to spread wider and wider because he wants you to go there for yourself. You heard him over and over again. He guarantees you you'll hear something. And I can tell you, I heard this thing say no through the fan. I can't tell you anything more detailed about what it was, where it came from. But certainly, you know, there is something going on here that deserves deeper exploration. I almost think it may have a tie into the synchronistic sort of holographic environment sort of concept. The idea that if you actually have some intelligence there that's trying to speak with you, that intelligence might be able to use everything around you to get some message across. He says this thing just wants to demean him. At some point, is it going to tell us something bigger, something more elaborate? I don't know. We're going to take a break, though. When we come back, it will be the Dark 30 Hour, and I have a stack of stories like you wouldn't believe. It's going to be a twisted one. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. It is called Speaking of Strange.